But anyway, guys, it was so rude of us to leave off the other episode like that. But we just wanted to leave you wanting more.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna lie. We just wanted to tease you guys because a lot of the like deep conversation is gonna happen in this episode.
LSPDA got locked off.
Don't say that. Sorry. Make it seem like we did on purpose, yeah. Like, hey everyone, how you doing? Hi guys. Wave. Hi everyone, welcome back to another episode of The Things You Can't Touch. This is another episode. Anyway, yeah, this is part two of the Women's History Month special, because it's important to talk about women and why not do it twice?
Exactly.
Thank you.
Period.
On that note, Elizabeth, you're going to introduce yourself again.
Oh, I don't want to.
And this time we're going to introduce yourself nicely to the people. Thank you.
Hi, guys.
Okay.
Sorry. Hi, guys. I am Elizabeth again, also known as Temi Dayo again.
Yeah.
I think that's it.
Can you tell them what your Instagram handles are? Please?
Not really. It will appear on the top of my head.
Audacious. Like, you're just so audacious. Everybody else introduces themselves and you think you're special.
Okay.
The Instagram handle.
I'm a Nigerian babe. Okay.
So let's just get into the conversation. I mean, Elizabeth, do you remember the question that we were answering?
Yeah, what is womanhood?
And we got cut off, but there's another segue, another segment. We were looking at the definitions of womanhood, and that led us to a talk about intersectionality.
Yes.
And on that note, I think it's important as Black women to talk about Black womanhood.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing that I want to discuss is whether or not you think that Black women are de-womanized.
Yeah, ate that.
Thank you.
That was a good one.
Thank you so much.
That's a good one.
Wow.
That's a good one. Because I was going to say, yeah, Black women are dehumanized. But I think Black people are dehumanized.
Mm-hmm.
I think Black women are de-womanized just because, do you know why?
No.
I think there's a lot of, like, what's that thing? There's a lot of
stigma.
Not stigma.
Okay.
There's a lot of like connotations to womanhood.
Yeah.
A lot of words that you'd associate with womanhood.
Yeah.
Like, not stereotypes, but like as in constructs that you'd associate. I'm not saying they're inherent or natural characteristics because we already debunked that. But it's like for example, like the idea that women are like soft, gentle,
Yeah.
Like a lot of the time, when Black women are thought about, I don't know why I'm stuttering. Those are not the things that are associated with black women,
the concept of being soft and gentle.
And it's that, there's so much you could say about that. So much you could say. Because, like, I'm going to keep some topics to myself.
You can bring them up and I'll see if I want.
I'm going to end up just talking about so many things.
That's the point. Talk about what you want to talk about.
Where do I go? Because I'm trying to think of, like, how we can see that in real life and how we see Black women being de-womanized in real life. Okay, actually, I'm gonna do like what you would do in an essay.
Yeah.
I'm gonna give a modern day example, contemporary example.
Because I have an example. I think you might be done. Okay, go on.
You can give your example though after. Yeah. But like recently, you know how unfortunately a young Black woman was found in the river.
Yeah.
It's like that whole, the sentiment around it was that like the police had no sense of urgency, and it's not the first time.
Yeah.
And it's like when you're looking for young children who go missing or I don't even know what happens to them, it's like if that child was white, there's a sense of urgency because like especially if they were a white woman or a white girl, there's a sense of urgency because like she's innocent, she's young,
she's a damsel in distress. Describe a Black woman as a damsel in distress. Like no one sees us as damsels.
I'm a damsel.
They see us as, I was gonna say demon because I wanted it to be alliteration, but that didn't.
Yeah.
Like we're not sweet to the taste. We're not sweet.
I'm sweet to the taste in Jesus' name.
Yeah, like we are, and we know that because
we
are, and we know that because we are Black women.
Yeah.
But the way that we are perceived
is not like brash. Exactly.
Aggressive.
And so we're de-womanized because I think there's, as much as women face so much struggle in society, there is not a, there's an element of womanhood in terms of like gender constructs that means that like you're seen as like there's a binary of like being protected and being a protector, and men are like the protectors, women are the protected, but not black women.
Okay.
So we're de-womanized in that sense because women ought to be protected, but not black women. Yeah. So it's like...
That leads me to my next point. Are we de-womanized because we are victims of hyper-masculinity? Or do you think...
Like, what comes first?
Yeah, taboo.
I think we're de-womanized before we become... Ooh, actually.
Wow.
Actually.
By the way, when we're saying de-womanized in this context, is... de-womanized by in relevance to the concept of what a modern day woman is like. I feel like I didn't word that well, but I think you get my gist.
I think we're hyper masculinized.
Wow. First. Do you think? Okay, go on.
Because I think that we're hyper masculinized first.
Yeah.
Because I think the same way it's like black people were never perceived as human beings to start with.
Yeah.
It's like, we were, you never considered me
to be a woman,
to start with. Beginning. I was just a very masculine thing to you from the get-go. That. So it's like,
yeah.
I was hyper-masculinized first.
Yeah.
And then it's like, my womanhood wasn't even
considered. It wasn't a part of the conversation. It wasn't
But I think
the
as the conversation has evolved, it's like,
okay, now you're a woman.
That you're being de-womanized. Like, but your womanhood.
We have to be considered a woman first before that is being detracted and subtracted from our
identity.
I think
inherently,
politically
correct to say? Inherently,
yeah.
I am a woman.
Okay.
Like, I identify as a woman.
You identify as a woman, okay.
I am a woman, but you not considering me to be one doesn't negate that I am one.
Yeah.
So,
but I think that's the issue. Because of the social structure, people can have their opinions and declare what we are and what we're not.
Exactly.
And then that creates all the problems that we have with the systems that we're in.
Yeah. So that's how we become hyper-masculinized.
Okay.
And then what you were saying about how to be de-womanized, you need to be a woman in the first place.
Yeah.
So it's like, I'm inherently a woman.
Yeah.
That's why the concept of being de-womanized makes, like, that's why it's relevant.
Yeah.
Even though you are hyper-masculinizing me. Does that make sense?
Yeah. It's just a lot of...
It's a lot of words.
Yeah.
Full in the mouth.
But I think we understand the concept of what we're trying to say in general. But because like simply based on the stereotypes, we can see that black women are de-womanized because the concepts that are usually associated with like white women are just the concepts associated with white women are what creates the stereotype of what a woman is supposed to be, and we are constantly painted outside of that picture.
Yeah.
Which is the reason why we are de-womanized.
Yeah.
Which is off of the back of the hyper-masculinity that comes into play.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, I just had to bring it all together. Yeah, we've already spoken about dehumanization, but I just want to touch on another point. When people in the West came and found most black people in Africa, we were considered savages and animals.
Yes,
we were. And I think that is where a lot of the dehumanization comes from in the first place.
Yeah.
And that's what leads to the hyper-masculization.
Yeah.
The reason why is because dehumanization already makes you an animal, and the type of not gender, but the type of sex and role that is associated with animalistic behavior, primal behavior is men.
Yeah.
To begin with, I'm not sitting here calling men animals, even though you know you can take that and do what you will.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is that the link from black people, animals, is very easy to call all black people very, very masculine as a result. And I think it becomes worse when when social media comes into play. And we see all the concepts of, like, even in Disney, you see what a woman is. And then when there are villains, the villains are darker skinned and things of that nature. And it's just like, anything with dark skin is already is already an animal.
Yeah.
So even if they are, and that's what's so interesting. In order to be considered as a feminine, or not even feminine, as a woman, as a black woman, you have to be hyper feminine.
Yes.
And it's like the two contrasts are so interesting.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like when people take in like black women and consider them as women, it's like, oh, because like she's just so cute.
She's so, or, so oh, like she's so pretty. She's so soft-spoken, and exactly, she's so pretty. And
I think the concept of, like, I know you're going with it, but like my brain was fast. Like, I think the concept of a lot of things come into play in this conversation, in the sense that, you know, the beauty standards of a black woman is just different. With white women, everyone is beautiful. To society. But for black women, you have to be one like, I don't want to use the word, but exotic, differentiating character that looks so different. And it's because, and that's why average, in quotation mark, black women are
so medium.
And they are considered to not be as beautiful, even though this is the average beauty. Like, this is us. We're beautiful.
Like, if I was white, you would think.
Yeah, you would think, like, I'm, like, best, like, what do you call it? The cream of the
crop and all that.
Yeah. But because we're black, it's just different. And that just comes down to skin colour. And if you have something to say about that, just keep yourself. No worries. Another one of my notes was that we do it to ourselves. We hypermasculate whichever one it is, ourselves. You think that's true?
Give me an example.
You know, like, the angry black girl stereotype?
Yeah.
I think a lot of other black women
project
and reinforce it as well.
Okay.
I don't know, like, I don't know how to explain how, but I just...
I agree with you. Yeah. I think some black women are equally, like, I don't want to say guilty, but they equally project that stereotype.
Yeah.
But, obviously, I don't want to remove accountability from the black women who do that.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, you do it. Yeah. So I don't want to say, oh yeah, but we're not the ones who started it. Because there is a conversation in that, even like in terms of the quantity of people who project that stereotype, I would like to believe that black women are not the most guilty, which is not what you are. She didn't ask who's the most guilty.
Yeah.
But it's like, I feel like part of that, one, is because some people want to appeal to the male gaze or the Western gaze, the European gaze, whichever gaze you want to even call it. Like, so it's like there's a pressure to conform, and it's like, I don't want to be this thing that they keep saying that we are. Yeah. So when someone else does it, I'm going to point it out and be like, stop being the angry black woman. Yeah. Or you're like, you're being the angry black woman. Obviously, that's not how people say it, but like the sentiment.
And sometimes I think it's just a product of you're trying to help, but by trying to help, you're not
helping.
It's true. In that,
I think some people are trying to help, not everyone though.
No, not everyone. No, come on. Some people, I've been there. Some people, you're actually just the issue. but yeah, some people think that they're helping by saying, that don't do that because they're gonna say it. But I can act how I want to act, and people want to say that I'm an angry black woman, but I'm reacting how any normal human being would react in this situation.
And I think there's even it's obviously like, within reason, but everything within reason.
Yeah.
Like, as a white person, within reason as well. So when it's black people, it's like, we should feel like we're allowed to be angry without being villainized. We should feel like we're allowed
it's
to be...
It's just so interesting. Like,
but otherwise, you're dehumanizing us, but in the other direction now.
Yeah.
You're not telling us that, not necessarily by saying that we're grand, but by saying we're not allowed to be.
That we're being, angry, now we're too human.
Or we're not allowed to be too upset. Emotional. So it's like now I have to be so robotic and whatever because I don't want to be.
Because you're constrained on both
stereotypes.
Sides.
It's crazy.
Can I just say something? What I just thought of in my mind was like, where's the idea of an angry white woman? And in my head, okay, I feel like
you
can say no. You know this concept of Karens? Karens are now like a funny, comedic, like thing, but no one has ever considered them to be angry. They're just really
hysterical, maybe.
Yeah, maybe they're hysterical. Maybe they're really what's the word? Not demanding, but they put their foot down. They're really, I don't know the English, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
And it's like, anyhow, the Karen that is behaving how they That's are correct. Right now is being like an like, go and get your manager. Oh, let them be black. Oh no, angry black girl, angry black woman. She's like, she's not justified, because a lot of the time people take the time to listen to what the Karen is saying, and it's like, in this situation, is the Karen right or wrong? Question mark. let's listen to what the Karen is saying and see are the Karen called the manager because this, that and the third. They didn't need to, they should have, they should have the, they shouldn't have, whatever. And it's like, if it was a black woman, you're not even gonna listen to what they have to say.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the time, this, like, in the workplace, in medical, in healthcare, it's like we are always like considered to just be wrong because we're just angry.
Mm-hmm. And we're just excessive.
And that, it happens so much. Like, when women, black women go into the hospital and say, like, for example, like, the stories that I've heard, like, was it you that said about how the woman went to the hospital and she was saying that she's pregnant.
Yeah.
She ended up having a miscarriage because no one believed that she's pregnant.
Yeah.
What? Because, like, and what's the word? That is called testimonial injustice. Look it up. You know, the same woman that spoke about having medical injustice?
Yeah, yeah.
Testimonial injustice refers to the idea that, like, you don't, somebody's testimony, what somebody says is not believed because of their identity,
mm-hmm.
and because of the social structures that they fall into.
Mm-hmm.
And that, to me, is just so interesting. We've definitely gone on a tangent.
But you're right.
But that's just
And even everything that you were saying before, how, like, when you're talking about, like, the healthcare.
Yeah.
And it's like, we don't even need to get into it. We know about how many, like, well, we might not know the statistics, but we know that, like, black women are out here losing their lives.
Yeah, man.
Because no, they don't believe in our pain, quite literally and metaphorically. And it's like, what is that about? Like, a black woman, like, what? I told you it's pain in me, sir.
And just, like, said, yeah, no, it's not.
Like, not really. And obviously, I understand that all women deal with that. Like, you can go to your GP and say something is obvious, something is wrong there, and it's like, oh, it's okay, don't worry, you're just a girl. Like,
but just it's just disproportionate.
Paracetamol. But it's disproportionate.
And no one should say
It's unfair. And it's like, why? What? Because I'm not human enough to you.
Yeah.
Like, I have this mega, stupid, like, extraordinary capacity to endure pain. Why? Because I'm black? Does it make sense? No.
Right.
What?
This is
what. Like, what makes you think that? And the fact that, like these were things that were believed, like, in a scientific sense, like, genuinely, that black people can endure more pain. You are joking.
It was in the books. That's what people went to university,
like, educated people who read school.
Wow. Educated people who read school,
that's what they taught you. That's so crazy to me.
Yeah, that was a really interesting conversation. I'm not sure if that counted as a tangent, but I like where it went.
I think that's the essence of a podcast.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I'm so structured in the way that I think, it's my bad. But all those references, I do want to ask, is our concept of womanhood really westernized?
Yeah.
You can take that how you will, but I do have an approach that I want to take to it.
Please do.
You want me to?
You want me to answer first?
Yeah,
I think it is. And when I say our, I mean our, in this, like, sphere that we're, obviously we are in the West.
Yeah.
But we're not Western women, if that makes sense.
Like, we're not born of the West. We're not women of the West.
Yeah, we're not women of the West. Yeah. That was a good one.
Thank you.
So our concept, or the concept of womanhood that gets projected onto us, is a very Western one.
Yeah.
Obviously, I was brought up here, so I can't say how it goes down in, like, Nigeria, for example.
I think their concept of womanhood is
shaped by. But at the same time, social media, like, globalization, it means that there's almost a universal concept of womanhood, almost, that is shaped primarily by the West.
Yeah. Ooh.
And that whole, like, and I just, like, I'm so bored. First, we were all supposed to be skinny. Now we're all supposed to look unrealistically thick.
Like, the beauty standards are going to change. And
you know, on that, really quickly,
I'm so excited.
Like, you know that, like, whole idea, like, some, I think it was even AD that was saying it on Love is Blind. Or maybe it wasn't, and I just made that up.
Okay.
But it was like, that I like her too. But it was like, as a black woman, like, you go gym, you work for your body.
I think it was her.
And then they're telling you, oh no, it's just genetic. Like, your hard work is getting taken away from you.
Yes.
Like, oh yes, yeah, but you're black though.
Oh my gosh,
like,
when
you're
said
black,
that,
so, like, you said, I resonated good. Like, so much. That's just the way you are. Like, that's just, it's genetic. Duh, duh, duh.
Oh my gosh.
And it's like, no, I'll work hard for this in the gym. I'll go to the gym.
So don't dismiss the hard work that I put in because, and reduce it to genetics.
Like, am I allowed to just give, like, personal anecdote?
Please do.
Like, I know I'm black. But, like, that does not mean automatically I'm born with all these endowments.
Yeah.
Leave me alone.
Yeah.
In secondary school,
wow.
You people are not nice. Oh, yeah, but you're black though. So, like, why not, like, don't be with all that, or even they'll go and point to one white girl, even she got more this, that and the third than you. Why are you being rude to me?
And it's like, it's
being black is not the criteria for having Nyash and all those things.
Yeah. Who's gonna tell them?
So unkind.
And but the thing is, it's because of the way that black people were portrayed to the people.
Mm-hmm.
You have now a general idea of what you think I'm supposed to look like.
Mm-hmm.
You have a general idea of what you think I'm supposed to act mm-hmm. like. And that is what creates the black woman. Not the black womanhood.
Yeah,
the womanhood
yeah.
is different now. That's what creates the black idea of what a woman is.
Uh-huh.
But where I was going with that
yeah,
is...
Yeah, sorry, I just
now, that's okay.
Went like this.
That's okay. Come back. I just wanted to, like, obviously I wanted to see what you had to say before I told you what my view was. And, okay, that's going to come later. What I want to say is, we're African, right?
Yes.
And
proudly.
We, proudly, African. And we, to us, culture and tradition is so, so important.
Yeah.
So what I do want to say is, there's a lot that's coming into what I'm saying, so I'm going to try and formulate it correctly. There's nothing wrong with being a traditional woman.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Is that where we're going?
I think that's all.
Oh my God.
I think that's all I want to say. There is nothing wrong with wanting to be a housewife. In this day and age, you can absolutely say.
And you finish.
Thank you. In this day and age, I feel like... Sorry. In this day and age, I feel like there's so much pressure on women having to be independent. There's so much pressure on women having to, like... Just chase like stand bag. Up for themselves, chase the bag, you know, do everything independently.
I don't
want to
be girl boss. How about that?
And it's just like, go you. You
and can
that.
I just say, can I just say, can
I, don't
I just
have to.
Pause it? Because I was listening to another podcast, but I'm not here to promote them, even though I love them so much.
RJ.
they was on live, and someone was talking, and like a boy called him,
mm-hmm.
and he was like, he's seeing this girl, and he was like, he's not sure if about his, like, willingness to commit basically
yeah.
and they were saying what's the pros, what's the cons, and then one of the cons that he said, he was like, oh yeah, like he feels like she don't really have ambition, like she always says that if she could that she would just become a housewife to the
yeah. And what's wrong with
who
that?
Would not pick ease and comfort over stress and wahala?
And the thing
I don't understand, that doesn't mean that she's not ambitious.
If you want to go
just
do,
because of what we're saying,
you know, other things, do that. But
yeah.
what I'm saying is, don't now create this environment where it's now a problem or is negative or is bad
to want to be a traditional woman.
A traditional woman.
Can, like, can I say that I am still a feminist? Yes.
I was going to move on to that point. Can I quickly ask the question so that you can say what you're going to say?
Okay.
Because what I'm going to say is, whenever women are brought into the, like, equation,
yeah.
feminism comes up.
Yeah.
And what I wanted to say was... first of all, do we have to always bring up feminism when it comes to womanhood? And secondly, does feminism contradict the idea of being a traditional woman?
Yeah, cool. That's what I was
yeah, I wanted to ask the question so it can be
remind
like,
me of the first
dramatic.
Question though. So that
is it necessary to
bring up feminism?
Bring up feminism
time?
When we are talking about women?
I think unfortunately, the reason why it's gonna always gonna speak English.
It's gonna always gonna.
The reason why it's always going to come up
yeah.
is because when we speak about womanhood. If you speak about in its entirety, you're always going to speak about the like struggle and strife
and
that
how
women
we overcome
have endured.
That.
And so the counter to that is feminism.
Yeah.
So and trying to overcome that is addressing feminism.
Yeah.
And you can be having like feminist discourse without mm-hmm. even like you might not consider yourself a feminist.
Yeah.
But like not the conversation that we're having here, arguably that we're all talking about intersectionality and all of that
is like
is feminist discourse. So
wow.
it's like it's kind of hard to separate. The two,
like feminism from the idea,
and that's not
of, like,
a, and that's not a bad thing.
It doesn't have to be negative. Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Second question, which is what I was gonna, don't eat the mic.
That's okay.
Second question, which is what I was gonna say,
yeah.
is that the two can coincide. Like I am a feminist.
Yeah.
I identify as a feminist.
Yeah.
Thank you. And I don't like. I'm not against the idea of traditional womanhood.
Mm-hmm.
I think.
Tell them again.
There are some women who are feminists. Who can't fathom it and who think like why would you even say that if you're a feminist? And
I want
to
say something on that point
and I'll let you in a moment.
Yeah.
Thank you. I feel like understanding the aims and goals of feminism, whilst there's different like types of feminism, I think to really understand what's going on here is to understand that what we're striving for is for women to be able to have the same like liberty and freedom and
Thank you.
Like agency that men have.
I don't want to reduce the feminist discussion to
yeah.
one liner.
Yeah.
But if I could,
yeah.
if I could be permitted to,
yeah.
The basis of feminism is to not fight, but like campaign
exactly
for
gender
equal
equality,
rights with men and women. Simple as that.
In the same way obviously there are constructs that kind of reduce our capacity to understand or like consider what it looks like to be a man.
Yeah.
But in the same way men get to choose a life that they want to live, me too as a woman, all I desire is to, I can fight on the, obviously me, that's not what I do, but I can like protest and campaign and all I want about women being allowed to have like to break the glass ceiling, for example.
Yeah.
That does not, that doesn't affect my personal like what I choose to do in my personal life.
Your personal endeavours, yes.
Like ultimately, like I'm with you lot, like genuinely, side by side, fighting.
No
for
one should come and take this women out of
to be able feminist to like reach certain heights, essentially. Mm-hmm. That's what I was thinking. I'm really proud that you said that sentence.
Feminism is not for black women. Okay,
you can't say
not white feminism, but like don't let them take the concepts of feminism.
I feel like the correct term is a womanist though.
Oh, why?
Because women, like womanism is more inclusive.
How?
Like it actually includes
women,
other groups says of women.
I understand that.
Feminism, whether we like it or not, has been dominated by white women.
That's true.
And also not only that, but like that's also subscribes to the idea that all women have to be feminine simply by the word. Did you get?
But not necessarily.
I'm not even a politics student.
It's not necessarily inherently a political discussion.
Concept, yeah.
But I feel like obviously you're like by virtue of the connotations, yeah, and like the root word, like when you say feminine, I mean feminism, the root word is feminine. Mm-hmm. I understand that. But I also feel like I feel like black women can be included in the discussion, because I feel like feminism is an ever evolving like thingy, because okay, like if I'm being on maybe I'm just old school or something and I've not caught up with the times,
yeah,
but it's like I feel like womanism is like, it's like a,
do you think womanism,
I don't fully understand, like I haven't been fully educated on womanism first of all. Maybe I would identify as a womanist.
Yeah, I think
probably even myself. But I just feel like it's almost like an evolution from feminism anyway. So like I feel like
that's what I was gonna say. Do you think womanism comes out of feminism or comes as a response to feminism?
I don't know all too much if womanism and black feminism are interchangeable.
Yeah.
But from my understanding of womanism, I think the two are interchangeable. So okay, what you guys are saying
could, you shout please? That is,
what you guys are saying would make sense.
Yeah.
That it's derived from
feminism.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like because of literally everything you guys have been talking about in this episode, like there needs to be more focus on,
like we can't just like try to fit ourselves.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I agree.
Womanism is for us, and I feel like we should take that. Do you know what I mean?
I agree. I understand what you're saying, and the reason why I said that I feel like black women can still be feminist or black women can still be like involved in feminism is because I fully like recognize and appreciate the fact that there are different types of feminism.
Yeah.
I will never identify as a liberal feminist.
Yeah.
I will never identify as, what's the one that came before liberal feminism? That one, Sha. Like, that's not me, because I know that is essentially synonymous with white feminism. I'm not a white woman. It's not really.
And it's just like,
it's
black feminism the same as intersectional?
Black feminism and intersectional feminism are like, they kind of go hand in hand.
Yeah.
They'll be spoken about like together.
Okay.
And so I am an intersectional feminist.
At the moment, at this
not just a that plain feminist. So
sense.
It's like, yeah, I'm not a feminist. Like when I say I'm, and I feel like as well, I feel like that's why there's a lot of taboo and like, if you say that you're a feminist because of like how people, I think people often, when they think about feminism, they think about radical feminism.
Thank you for saying that. That's the point I was going to land on. But this came out of me saying I am a feminist.
Yeah.
So I'm going to rephrase that and say that I agree with the fundamental point of feminism, which is that women and men should be equal.
Mm-hmm.
But what I'm saying is that that does not contradict or go against the idea that traditional women can exist.
Because
and,
I'm
yeah,
like if I put my laundry on there, something now, you guys might drag me, but like if I want to do the cooking and the cleaning,
I'm gonna do it.
I'm gonna do it, like to be quite frank,
holistically and solely. I don't even need to go outside and work.
No one even needs to front,
and that's not to say that everyone should do it. I'm not saying that all of you should do it. Don't do it if you don't want to do it,
which is so interesting
to me. The liberty and the is in having the choice.
Thank you. And it's interesting,
I'm not doing it because I'm oppressed. doing it because I want to. Yeah. That's how I show love.
But do you know what people are going to come and say to you? What? They're going to say that, what's it called?
Yeah, yeah,
socialism?
Yeah.
Huh? Socialization.
Socialism.
Give me your name. I'm trying my best. I'm trying my best. People are going to tell you, socialization has taught you that this is what and you want to do.
What's that's that not, thing?
And that's what irritates false consciousness. Me. False consciousness. I'd be all that. False consciousness. What about to touch on that? That's what frustrates me. I'm not going to lie to you.
Yeah.
When it comes to people being traditional women, we say, that's what I want to do, but you can do what you want. But the other side of the coin, no, we need to be free. We need to go and work. We need to do this. Equal rights, 50-50. But you're not allowed to be a traditional woman. You have to be that as well.
Oh, it's counterintuitive. It's very counterintuitive.
The point is that we get the choice to do what we want to do.
And that's not what we're fighting for.
We're not fighting for us
to be like dragged to another end of the spectrum and then like equally oppressed on that side of the spectrum. That's not what we're doing here.
And that's why I don't agree with feminism.
Yeah. Because
it goes back to what you said in the beginning, you're women of the West. I'm not women of the West.
So, and the reason why, like, I appreciate what you're saying, and the reason why I will just, like, be like, is because I feel like that's because our perception of feminism is so obscured by what we see in the media. I feel like, for me personally, I choose to define feminism for myself. Obviously, I'm not going to create my new, like, definition for feminism and give to everybody and say this is what it is. Yeah. But as in, to be a feminist, decide what that means to you, like, kind of thing, almost, because it's so helter-skelter anyway. We already know there's not one universal definition of what it means to be a feminist. There's not one type of feminism, so, like, make that make sense to you. So, and like you said, there's a fundamental and core belief here, which is gender equality. And I feel like that's all. Just take that and do with that what you will, essentially.
Wow. Thank you. She gave me a round of applause.
Thank you, mommy.
I wanted to say something. I've actually been dying to say it, but I forgot I wanted to say it. And now I remember what I wanted to say. And what it is that I think the issue that a lot of people, especially men, have with the concept of feminism is the fact that a lot of feminist ideas are suppressed until they are radical. It's only the radical ideas. Thank you. Only the radical ideas that break the barrier and become prominent in conversation. And now everyone thinks, oh yeah, feminism that's is this radical idea that no, you just weren't listening until someone had to go crazy.
That's good.
Until because someone has like, to go crazy example, and break
like, even
the barrier.
People who are like pro-black.
Yeah.
It's the conversation kind of gets suppressed. Like, some of us just have ordinary and standard views.
Black supremacy.
Until someone says black supremacy, we don't hear anything. We don't hear what.
I hold you.
And can I just say, don't cancel me. Dr. Umar eats sometimes.
Do you want me to post on TikTok?
Please do.
Say again.
Dr. Umar, like, he eats sometimes. He doesn't have 100% awful takes. He doesn't. He says, I'm not going to lie to you. Yeah. 8 out of 10 times, obviously, this is the statistic that I just created right now. But 8 out of 10 times, I've seen his takes, he ate that.
He's eating.
I said what I said. Drag
me. Guys are gonna hate. She said, take me. Drag me.
Dr. Umar
in the comments, guys.
You don't have the amount of degrees that he has. No one was talking out of his ass.
That's true. That's the thing. That's why when Dr. Umar, because I've watched a couple of things because of you, you inspired me, I'll be real. When Dr. Umar.
I'm not his best friend, though.
That obviously, like, with moderation. Thank you. When Dr. Umar comes on different podcasts, he goes on different podcasts, and he talks to people.
You are ignorant.
Gonna eat you up. Why? Because you're taking popularized media view, and you're going to go and spit that in his face. But he has education. To a scholar.
I'm sure there is a doctor in front of his name. I don't know. Maybe. Oh wait, there is. Am I stupid?
I genuinely thought you did that on purpose, but you were not being sarcastic.
Doctor was your first name. I'm so sorry.
He went to school.
I'm not saying that everybody that went to school speaks sense. Some people, they went to school, they do like they didn't go to school. And I'm not saying that everything that school teaches us is necessarily, but it exposes us to knowledge. And I think you go and research.
The crux of what we're saying is some people do. But people don't just say things out of their ass. Like, it comes from somewhere, some education, some reading. And before you like respond to anything that we have to say, go and read.
Make sure that you genuinely disagree
that
with us.
That you actually understand what we're saying.
To disagree with me.
It's okay, you don't have to agree. That's fine. You know, everybody, freedom of choice, liberty, and all that. Next.
Thank you.
Guys, I'm so sorry. We cannot have a conversation about womanhood.
Mm-hmm.
I know. This is a really Western claim.
Okay. Preface and question, Abby, what's
this is a really Western claim. we cannot have a conversation about womanhood without bringing up Simone de Beauvoir.
Okay. How do you say that? Like, you could have just, we can.
Like, we can. Like, that was just Western education for me. Sorry, I study philosophy and they only teach me white people.
How do you say it?
I don't know. I don't want to butcher somebody's language on the internet. Simone de B.
Oh my gosh.
Is that worse?
SDB.
That sounds like STD. I don't want to do that to her.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
Simone de Beauvoir.
Destigmatized. De Beauvoir. STD and STD. Like, well. Get me off.
No, but you kind of ate me up with that one.
Thank you.
We should.
Please, just like, I'm gonna let her just say what she said.
Simone de Beauvoir.
Yeah.
Guys, I'm so sorry about the pronunciation of her name, but I'm trying my best. And
you're gonna see you're this. You're over trying, and that's what's making it work.
Simone de Beauvoir.
Thank you.
I'm over trying. She argues that one is born. Sorry.
Yeah, I was gonna say she doesn't.
I need to delete that clip and like, do it again because like it's not gonna eat the same. She argues that one is not born, but rather becomes a woman.
Yeah. You can misinterpret that.
Ooh, go on.
Wait, what do you think she means?
Don't know now. I think what she means is that gender is a social construct.
Yeah, yeah.
And because of socialization, we believe, like, we begin to believe the general ideas of what a woman is. Mm-hmm. And that's what leads us. I don't agree with everything that she says. I'm not going to lie to you. I agree with the general concepts. I think she tried her hardest, but I don't think she, like, she's the best in the world. she says that that's
do you become tired?
So tired.
That's fine. It's okay. It happens to everybody.
Do you want to like speak?
I think you're right, yeah. I think she's basically saying that like one is not born but becomes a woman. So it's like I think she's arguing against the idea of like biological determinism and all that stuff.
Wow, yeah.
That like, you know, your sex
determines
your
gender role actually.
Yeah, you're basically
she argues against gender roles as well.
And so she's basically saying that like womanhood is not, because it's like socially constructed, it's not a natural inherent thing that like you're born with.
Yeah,
like it's something that becomes projected onto you. It's not something necessary that you,
it's like a nature yourself. Versus nurture argument basically.
So it's something that like it's socialization basically. I think
you make me feel like a natural. I don't know why I started there because I was not gonna be able to hit the note down there, so you get the gist of where I was going. So that song, like, for like a natural woman, Simone de Beauvoir, she'll just be like, no, there isn't such thing. You just natural woman. Become one. Uh-huh. You're not born a woman. And that's just like, okay. Yeah, they can definitely take her idea and like run with that.
Yeah.
Actually.
Yeah.
What are the, do you have, are there any misconstruments of that?
I just, because off reading it, like, just like hearing it again, it was like, one is not born but becomes a woman, like, you could so quickly assume that she's saying like you become a woman and that like you grow into that feminine like idea and you grow into
it's just like
the stereotype for
a
yourself,
woman becoming
like,
a woman.
Yeah, like you're becoming a woman. Like you're becoming, you go from a baby girl to a woman.
Also, okay, so they should try not to do that.
Yeah, but that's what she's saying.
That's like the complete opposite.
Yeah, actually.
Cool. I want to go into, is gender really a social construct? But I feel like that's a whole podcast episode in all of itself. Yeah. So I'm not going to do that. Wow. What I am going to do, did you see the what I am going to do is, we're 20. You're 20?
You're 20.
And...
Oh my gosh, I'm 20.
You know, like, I just deeped it the other day and I was like, rotted.
I think I'm
20.
So young. I think I'm
still... I'm still a child, I'll be real. Hi, mommy. Hello.
That's so cute.
And she's going to see this and she's going to wave at me back.
That's
it, hello, daddy, as well.
Hi, auntie and uncle.
Hey, parents. Hey, y'all.
Okay.
I was right. Are we women? Yeah.
Yet.
Are we women?
I think.
What is to be a woman?
What is it to be a woman?
Like, in terms of age. Because I feel like, because you're not going to call an 11-year-old a woman.
Yeah.
But, ooh. This might get really dark.
Ooh.
And, like, genuinely with all sense of like
sensitivity,
with all sense of sensitivity. It's bad. I don't know that word again. With all sense of sensitivity, what I was gonna argue is that you couldn't call like an 11-year-old a woman, but it's like, what of an 11-year-old who has been first of all adultified,
mm-hmm.
and second of all gone through serious abuse,
mm-hmm.
both physically, mm-hmm. sexually, mm-hmm. all types of abuse. Is that 11-year-old a woman or are they still just a girl?
Hmm. She's still a baby girl.
Okay.
We can't allow, and I feel like to go back, because that's, I think that's where the conversation about black women and how we're de-womanized, I feel like that's where I could have ended up going, but I just had to shut my mouth. But mm-hmm. we thank God we got there anyway.
So
but it's like,
God,
it's like, it's so dangerous to allow the experiences that have been forced onto someone, experiences mm-hmm. that they didn't even choose, like that,
yeah, to determine,
to
yeah.
take away the innocence from what they have of like a young girl, yeah. a young black girl at that,
yeah,
to just go back to the initial idea of black women being de-womanized,
yeah,
and how like the innocence of black women is so quickly taken away from them,
mm-hmm.
not out of their own doing, but even just like the way that people sexualize, for example, black women or black girls from so early on,
yeah,
and then they become adults. The fact is, like, why are you worrying about the shape of a young black girl in yeah. year seven, and how she, why she doesn't look the way you think that black women should look? She yeah. is 11 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Get it together. So I personally feel like what you were saying is that she's absolutely still a girl, regardless of what she's been through.
Yeah.
Because taking away her innocence in that sense is so dangerous and it's so scary.
Fair.
And then I feel like that's what even enables like the further, like,
I understand. But I think for me, what it is like, I feel like the title of a woman is an honor.
Mm.
So for me, it's like, if she went through all of those experiences which women go through, mm-hmm. not saying that women go through abuse mm-hmm. and they have to go through abuse to be a woman, but it's like, to be a woman, you have to be like, you have to have a sense of experience and mm-hmm. maturity
mm-hmm.
that has to... I understand what you're saying.
Yeah, because the only yeah, dangerous thing about what you're saying is that...
Hey, you call me dangerous. Sorry, you're not dangerous. Like, I'm not saying that this is what I'm saying. Yeah, yeah, I'm bringing
like,
the conversation
just, to yeah, like, looking at the other side of the coin. Yeah. But the only thing with that is that it's like the same way we spoke about how American people gatekeep the idea of being black because what,
yeah.
in the UK we didn't see slavery. It's like... It's even like though, gatekeeping like,
we did, but
the
we
idea,
it.
Yeah.
But we did.
It's like gatekeeping the idea of being a woman because yeah. you don't know stress, you don't know like abuse, you don't know da da da. You don't need to know all of that before you become a woman.
That's what I'm saying. Okay, cool.
So having been through all of that, yeah. early on doesn't now make you a woman.
Make you a woman.
You're still a baby girl.
Oh. So when do you become a woman? Like,
I don't know.
What components?
When do you become an adult? Like,
do you have to?
Well, yeah,
at 18,
yeah.
Like, is there a law that says, "Oh, now she's a woman"?
I don't
or
know.
Do you become a woman when you're an adult?
I just feel like, yeah, once you become an adult, like,
you're a woman.
Yeah.
I think it's, I would like I to know. Believe that there's just so much.
It's
more
just so here and there
that contributes to the idea of woman. Because for me, because I ask what's the difference between a woman and a girl, bro. There's one conversation I'm gonna get in so desperately, but we're not even there yet, and it's really upsetting me. And like, anyway. I need to take my time. Because, like, when I think of, like, a woman, I think of, like, an old, like, well-read, educated wise. Lady. Like, black lady, by the way. I don't know why, but, okay, hi.
Hi.
Shout, please.
Green.
I don't want to shout.
You said, I don't want to shout.
I don't want to shout.
It's so awkward. For a lot of people, I feel like a lot of people say, a girl becomes a woman when mm-hmm. she starts puberty.
Yeah.
And menstruates
like, and
all
she
that.
Starts to begin her period.
Yeah.
But I feel like that's very like
it's very antiquated.
It's outdated and it's just like a girl could start her period at 8.
Yeah, exactly.
Is she now a woman? And people would argue that she is. I've had discussions with people where it's like
really?
They would argue that that she's a woman.
She's
like,
a woman
whether
now.
She likes it or not, to the eyes of other people, ooh, she's a woman.
And the lack of choice there.
But do you know why that's problematic?
Why?
Because
why? I think it's problematic.
Because I know you would think it's problematic because like the idea of like menstruation and all of that is like it's your fertility is now in operation. So it's like I feel like again it's actually like what we said last time is attributing womanhood to the capacity to be able to bear a child. So yeah, ooh. She's 8, but she's still a baby girl.
Yeah.
She's not a woman.
Exactly.
And like if you never cause
do
does
you think
that
that's
mean,
why black women black girls are adultified?
I'll get there quickly,
oh,
sorry.
Shut up,
you're does that brain. Mean hold that on. Now when you turn 25 and you've never had a period in your life, you're not a woman? Do you know what I mean?
Well,
yeah.
It's a stupid that
many
one's
women would
dumb.
Argue that, you know, they feel less like a woman or you know, women who are unfortunately barren.
Yeah.
Like, why would you be upset that you can't conceive a child as a woman?
Yeah.
Because they make it such a large part of identity.
Mm-hmm.
Or like,
to be a woman.
What, like,
you, have to be a
you have to be a mother to mm-hmm. be a woman. And it's just like...
So what are you going to say about black women being adultified?
I was just going to wonder, like, do you think that's why black women not black women, black girls.
Yeah.
The distinction is really crazy.
Look at me.
Do you think that's why black girls are adultified? Because I don't know why, but
you feel like a lot of us start our period early.
Yeah, and we just hit puberty faster.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah. Because I was gonna say, if the puberty, the period thing was gonna be the only point.
No, just not just the period. Yeah, I think just puberty in general. Like, I think we just start earlier.
I think it's a contributing factor.
Mm-hmm.
And I also think the rest of the world is problematic. So, like, that's why as well.
We're okay. The rest of the world is problematic.
Please don't drag me. I'm sorry. We're also
I won't paint the picture. I'm the editor. I got you. Anyway. Nah, I don't want to talk about that no more.
What is the difference between being a woman and a girl? I don't know.
Man. I don't know. I don't care.
And it's so sad.
I think the point you just made, Ethan, is so unfair.
What?
It gives the people who sexualize black girls, like,
I'm not saying that's the whole reason. I'm saying that's part of the reason.
Fair enough. But I just still don't feel like it is at all.
You don't think? Okay.
I think it's culture. Like, I think it's deeply entrenched
in black specifically culture.
African culture.
Mm.
They like look at the age of consent in Nigeria. If the age of consent in Nigeria is 11 years old, if I come to the UK and you're 11 years old, if what I could do back home, I can do here.
Do you know what my issue is with that?
What is it?
This is a good issue conversation. Is that the
Say.
Y'all gonna drag me.
No, let's say.
What I think it is I think just because part of it is because we're in the West and we're educated in the West, and the West seems to be the more liberal, educated, forward thinking.
It's
like, does that mean that everything that people do in the non-Western areas is wrong? Like, it's just like they call it child marriage, but till you.
Okay, what you're saying is really good, but this instance is very scary.
How?
Because when applied to concepts like child marriage or like the age of consent, it's like 11 is not good enough.
But what I'm saying, I'm not saying that I don't agree with that.
I know you agree.
But what I'm saying is that, can we like think outside of the box here? And, like, can we consider that possibly the reason why we should be in the box? But do you not think that that is because of Western ideas? You think that the West is right. That's why you're so confident.
Wouldn't a psychologist in non-Western spaces and a psychologist in the West be able to like come to the conclusion that 11 is not, like, the brain is not ready?
I think she agrees with that.
It doesn't have the capacity to consent
My argument is, my argument is really childish in such a big and important conversation. My argument is, why is the West right and not everyone else?
No, but that's a good argument though. In this context, it's awful.
It's terrible.
No, it's not.
But is it the West that's making us think that it's bad?
It's in this context, it's just because of the context, is that we're immediately like shutting that argument down.
Yeah.
And rightfully
because
so.
But in other contexts,
when she's speaking about the age of consent,
yeah,
11 will never be okay.
It's not a great enough capacity to
till
think.
You.
Yeah, either
no. In any
but
instance,
I'm like till you until me. I'm playing devil's advocate.
Yeah, I know you're playing devil's advocate, but it's just like,
but like that's how the devil advocates.
To touch on what you said, actually, what I wanted to say was that I think you're right about how they adultify us, like, within our culture, like, even that whole, like, firstborn daughter syndrome, and it's like, you're carrying a load of a mummy at your tender and gentle age, it's like, you're being adultified.
I wouldn't
adultification strictly to us, though. I think it's obvious, and I know that's not what you're saying, but it's like, we're not guilty of it in our solidarity.
Yeah.
Like, they do it to us too. Because, like, obviously, in the other sense of what you were saying about puberty, and it's like, how people look at young girls, young black girls to be more specific, and it's like, you're sexualizing her, whatever.
Yeah.
At her small, why are you doing that?
Sorry, there's a conversation that I want to have that's just itching the back of my brain, and I've just stopped listening to you, and it's really bad.
And so it's like, Yeah, basically. It's not just us, basically, that are guilty of projecting, like, adult
values. Stuff.
Yeah, until young children, basically.
I agree with that. That was a really, like, it became so heated.
Isn't it?
And then it just cooled down, and I really liked that. I hope, like, same, I can subtitle you. Hopefully you shouted loud enough. I feel like you did this
time. I will even sit next to you and do the subtitle together.
Thank you, because I do need you to do that. Thank you.
Okay.
Are you ready for this one?
I think I'm ready. I don't know what it is. I don't even know what I'm looking at.
It's not even on the screen.
Oh, okay. That's fine. I won't look at it anymore then.
So excited. Okay. Where should I start with this one? Okay, I do genuinely, like, I want to talk about women's sexuality, for real. Yes. And the hypersexualization of women.
Mm-hmm.
Are women hypersexualized? Let me start there.
Are women hypersexualized?
Or are they just sexualized like everyone else?
I think relative to men, they are, Oh, sorry. Relative to men, women are hypersexualized.
Okay.
In that, like, you know how they speak about the different currencies that, like, as genders we operate inside of, shall I say? Like, men, you care more so about a man's pocket. You care more so about, like, that's how you, like, that's a metric that we measure the value of a man by.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas with a woman, it's like your body, your face, da 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 da. So I think simply by how we value men and women, we can see that women are hypersexualized.
Oh.
Relatively, anyway.
Yeah, that was a word. Thank you. I'm going to say, yeah, that's all I wanted to say about, because I just wanted to say, what quantifies the word hyper? Like, what's, like, is everyone not sexualized to some degree? Mm-hmm. But you put in an argument saying that it's relative to the other,
is what makes it hyper.
Sex or gender.
Yeah, so then, like, even when they say black women are hypersexualized, it's in relation to other women.
Other women.
And so it's like,
it's good.
That's what makes it hyper. It's excessive. It's above the norm.
And I do want to say, I think it's intrinsic within a lot of institutions
to
the hypersexualization of women.
Yeah,
is intrinsic within institutions,
yeah.
And it's as small as, like, it's really, really small, and you won't get it unless you get it.
Mm.
And I've been dying to talk about this, so
please,
like, I'm talking about it now.
Please do.
Institutions such as the workplace has become more lenient now.
You're so good.
And also schools, schools.
Mm-hmm.
So my first might hit home.
And it was going to.
This rule that is implemented in multiple schools across the world. That
let's just say in the UK.
Across the world.
Okay, sorry.
That girls have to have a specific length of skirt. Is the manifestation of the hypersexualization of young girls.
Absolutely.
If you start that idea, if you start that idea from young, people are gonna grow up thinking, oh yeah, what matters, what really matters is the length of a girl's skirt.
And, like, now that you've said it, there's just so much that's flowing through my brain, and I'm very upset now.
Oh, please unpack.
Because, like, going to school,
your skirt is too short.
And hearing that teachers have said ridiculous things as it pertains to the length of your skirt.
That teacher,
please explain the scenario.
Do you know the one I'm talking
about?
Yes,
please explain. Please explain the scenario.
I'm so sorry. You're gonna want to listen to this. The one when we were getting changed.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. So we were getting changed for enrichment because we were in sixth form at this point. We were getting changed for enrichment, and we were, like, wearing PE clothing, and our school is heavily dominated by black girls. Whilst not all black girls are curvy, a lot of us are. The girls got ready to play netball. You want to be streamlined, you want to be fast, you want to be quick. They wore their
You want to be streamlined.
They wore their shorts and they wore their top, which was a normal set. And it's like, they didn't go and find this from the deep, dark depths of... It was in Sports Direct, yeah. It was in JD, because this is sportswear. This is activewear.
Mm-hmm.
And the teacher walked in. This was a male teacher, by the way. He was not only a very prominent teacher in the PE department, but he
I didn't know this is what you're going to say, but please say it.
Wow.
Was I there?
Oh, don't you worry.
Please say it.
But he was...
I'm so scared.
He was the head
of shaking control. In my boots and what right he now, said I'm shaking was, I'm scared.
Are you guys getting ready for PE, or are you getting ready to, like, be in
I'm scared.
What? Are you guys, are you, like, she silenced me so shockingly.
I'm so,
like,
scared. I don't think I'm ready to hear
can
it.
Can I say this?
Sorry, sorry, say it, say it.
Are you guys wearing sportswear or are you wearing lingerie? I said, oh.
You can't do
I'm
that.
I'm gonna believe it. I'm gonna believe it.
I can't believe that.
That was wild. When I heard it, and do you know what it is? That went over everyone's head.
I was not there.
And
I
the thing is, the ladies, it was
because trust and believe, I would have been ready to write a very wordy email.
Do you know what? But the thing is, all the girls said was ha ha ha.
That's
because
awful.
It's normal to make jokes.
That's
like that.
Awful
about little you know, girls.
We were in sixth form.
Little girls.
Okay. We're still little girls. That's nasty. That is like, genuinely disgusting.
Like, don't realize you can't. And that's what I'm saying.
If
about
you are
how
in compulsory education, you are a little girl.
That's yeah. what I'm saying. The innocence of young black girls gets steeped and all so said, quickly. That's
all
crazy.
They said was,
you can't say that because the truth is that we're actually children. You have a duty of care to me.
Are you wearing sportswear
or
lingerie?
Of duty of care as well, like as a teacher. And then you're saying that, it's like, why have you, your
why
brain shouldn't be able to attribute the two.
Thank you.
Me
thank
and lingerie, you get out of the gutter. You.
And the reason
get
why,
your mind
no, but
out
the thing
of
is,
the gutter.
Genuinely, that is such a wild statement and a wild claim. And the only reason why you feel so comfortable to get there, it starts from the length of a girl's skirt. The length of our skirt has been policed since the moment we entered into
speaking of the length
education.
Of the, what I was going to say in the same problematic school, part of me is about how
we should,
a teacher,
like, do a documentary. Sorry.
One of the teachers,
yeah,
she said, we weren't there at the time. that's what I thought you were going to say.
Sorry, there's too many things.
She was speaking about, it's so foggy in my brain. Do you know,
gosh.
Like, verbatim, what was said? Not verbatim, but do you.
She said she was basically saying how she was talking about the fact that, like, girls were getting kidnapped.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, girls
mm-hmm.
were getting kidnapped. Some girls were taken, were getting
abducted
and
that
stolen
kind of
away by men,
yeah.
and they were being abused and all that. I don't know the way I said that. I'm gonna rephrase that. They were talking about how, like, that young girls were being taken and
like very serious stuff.
It was a really serious conversation, and she said, yeah, and like the way that you guys wear your skirts, why wouldn't you be kidnapped?
Is that not very scary? And so what that takes me to is that there's this exhibition, I think somewhere in one of those Scandinavian countries, someone did an exhibition.
Why is she laughing? You can't laugh.
I don't know what country it was.
You reduced the country to nothing but...
No! One of the Scandinavian countries,
yeah.
So a woman did an exhibition. It might not even be one of the Scandinavian countries, because now you guys might know what I'm talking about, and then you guys tell me it was in America, I don't know.
Yeah.
But, she did an exhibition,
mm-hmm.
trigger warning, and it was about, like, the clothes that women were wearing when they
yeah.
were sexually abused.
Yeah.
And it was, like, pajamas.
Wow.
Like, not even, like, silky booty short pajamas.
Yeah.
Like, to the ankle pajamas.
That was,
like,
real PJ.
And it's, like,
was a baby's, PJ. Was, like, a baby's onesie.
Exactly, there was a baby's onesie, unfortunately. Trigger warning, even though it's too late now. But,
oh.
It's, like... By telling me policing the length of my skirt is so problematic, because what you're doing is reinforcing an idea that women are asking for it, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
yeah, yeah.
That the length of your skirt warrants you being, like,
yeah.
abused or whatever. And it's like, that's so, because that's
it's
not
so
on
disgusting.
Me. What you're attributing the blame or the fault to the women because of what? Because of the length of their skirt. That's not me asking
and
for anything.
I'm saying this inherent rule that is what's the, like, multiplied across all institutions, especially school, like, it's scary.
Very.
And I've tried to bring it up before, and people are just like, no, but, like, they shouldn't. Don't get me wrong,
we're not saying that your skirt should hang.
And the thing is, if you want your skirt to hang, your skirt can hang.
Yeah.
At the age of 18, you're still under your parents' instruction, whether you like it or not.
Mm-hmm.
I'm 20, I'm still under my parents' instruction.
That's right.
But I personally believe that the length of somebody's skirt should be facilitated, it should be policed and organized, orchestrated, if you like, by the parents.
So good.
By the willing carer of that child.
Yeah.
The institution has no right
yeah.
to monitor
yeah.
the length of a girl's skirt, because
yeah.
now, by virtue of that, you are implicitly, and
yeah.
the thing is, it's so implicit.
Yeah.
No one has deep to
yeah.
it.
And as young girls, 13, 14, whatever, in school, growing up, what do you know
exactly.
about the fact that
that's what
how
saying,
problematic
it wasn't
this
until
is
sixth form that I did
that we did. Why are you watching the length of my
Why
skirt?
Why are you watching the length of my skirt?
Why are you watching
what does that mean?
So intently?
You guys should talk about Halloween costumes.
I don't know, like, where you want to go with that.
Women's Halloween costumes, yeah. Sexy nurse.
In a sense.
And, like school student. Yeah. Like, the
like
sexualized.
Even, it's like, oh, you see the short, sexualized school with girl.
The tucked in.
The white skirt shirt that come up like here. And the cropped white shirt and then the hanging tie.
And it's so scary.
You know Velma.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know what they've done with Velma?
Yeah, scary.
Terrible thing.
It's so scary to, like, attribute all this sexuality to young girls in school.
Yeah. Yeah.
School girl costume, sexy like school girl.
Yeah.
Sexy and school girl should not be in the same.
Should not be the same sentence. It's very, very frightening. And it's just like, a male teacher is going to approach you in the corridor and say your
skirt is too. Do you know how uncomfortable and dehumanizing that is? Oh my gosh, that's another. That's
too much pornography.
Oh my gosh. Two things. First of all, that is so dehumanizing. A man, a grown man, should come to me and be like, your skirt is too short. I'm scared.
My skirt is too short for what?
For what?
For your mind.
Wait.
To comprehend.
I'm scared.
And remain intact.
And the thing is, respect yourself. Some of these male teachers, how would you feel? If you had a daughter and a grown man with stubble, him a beard,
came to your daughter, to your said, daughter your, her skirt is too short.
Do you not begin to envision one like, grimy?
Finish that sentence. Thing. What does that mean?
Yeah, I know. Yeah, what does
my
that
skirt
mean?
Is too short. Short. Why? Why is it too short?
Four.
Because what?
Thank you.
It's affecting that's your capacity to comport your mind and get your head out of the gutter. I didn't ask you to sexualize.
Because the thing is, I've thought about this very, very well, and it's like, let me look at opposing arguments. Now, there must in schools, there are rules.
Mm-hmm.
For example, everyone must be in school at 9 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
If some people decide to come in at 9:30, that becomes a problem. Why? Because it disrupts the organization of the day. That is a genuine rule that is good.
Mm-hmm.
In schools, some people say you have to line up. Some people can argue that this is like reminiscent of a prison. But for me, it's like, okay,
order,
let's line up.
Discipline.
Why? So that we can take a register and make sure everybody is here.
Mm-hmm.
For example. Now, the length of a girl's skirt, what are the reasons for policing the length of a girl's skirt? I begin to think.
I understand.
And the only thing that I can think of is because, the girl now becomes too appealing. She is too sexy.
Yeah.
Is that not a problem for you?
We're getting distracted. I understand that to an extent there's a level of like...
Is that not an issue?
Protection and all of that. Like, but I think
the root cause
the ideology behind that is what is the problem, because you're trying to protect you from what?
That's what I'm saying.
The length of my skirt doesn't warrant anything.
And by telling the young girls that they need to change in order to stop the
things from happening,
you're
attributing blame to the wrong people. Educate the young boys about how they should keep their hands to themselves.
Yeah.
And how they should worry about what concerns them.
Yeah.
And how the length of a girl's skirt is equally not their problem.
Which is so
funny.
And
it doesn't warrant anything. And it's like so much emphasis, so much onus goes on to the girls. Yeah. Educate the boys as well.
Because in schools, we've had these conversations, in schools, the teachers will watch as the boys do rubbish.
I'm not going to lie, yeah, and I just, in fact, I want to highlight that, and I'm so sorry to cut.
And the thing is, I wanted you to take over.
I feel like, and if teachers are watching this, which I don't even but I feel like a lot of you teachers have failed so many students, and it should absolutely weigh heavy on your conscience.
Wow.
You have watched so many treacherous things happen in school. Yeah. And like, and we established, the age of consent and that type of stuff. Girls are 11, 12, 13, 14 I'm even talking secondary school. Like, primary school, crazy things can happen as well.
They probably have.
But in secondary school, girls are so young, they're not of age to consent,
Yeah.
Even if the girl is laughing and giggling when you see crazy things happening,
she's
just a baby girl. You have
a
duty to protect these kids.
Oh,
parents are not sending their kids to school so that teachers can watch and turn a blind eye to foolishness that's going on. It doesn't make sense. And then instead of like educating children or nurturing them in the correct way,
mm-hmm.
it's like you villainize them, or you put blame on them, or you make them feel bad for things that have happened to them or whatever. Like, some of you teachers have failed awfully and woefully, and it's scary to see.
Because
I've seen
woefully.
Teachers like you guys, when I think back to secondary school, it's like, you watch that happen.
You let it happen. But
and you don't.
The level of my skirt. But
then you're going to go to the girls in the PE changing room and ask them if they're getting ready for lingerie or whatever it is.
There's one more thing that I wanted to say on this concept of the length of girl's skirt in schools. In our school, if your skirt was too short, you'll be sent home. Now, the interesting thing about this is that the length of a girl's skirt is prioritized over her education. That's hilarious. That is a laughing thing, yeah?
And do you know what it is?
That's a howler.
They were very aware of the phenomena whereby
mm-hmm.
you send them home to change their skirt or to wear trousers
and
they don't
come
back. And you know that.
One girl, you know the girl?
Probably.
Okay. Jeremy, I believe it.
Yeah.
Her skirt was too short, but she cared about her education. She said, I'm not going home. I live too far. She literally lived too far. So by the time she got home, by the time she come back, school's done. She said, I'm not going home. Do you know what they said? Okay, you can sit in the office then. She is in the institution of education, but she's not being educated because her skirt is too short. You're forgiven. That was so disgusting to me. How does
that affect the rest of her school?
She's
day?
In school, but she's not getting education because her skirt is too short. You can go and sit in the office then. What?
Because of what?
Because her skirt is too short.
Oh, and I understand that school, they just wanted to show us that they can do police.
But it's like, that I'm sure that's not the only prisoner, school that
but it's just that. Like, why are you being so stringent about the
length
of someone's skirt?
It has nothing to do with a school. It has nothing to do with a school.
Yeah. It's not about the school. I'm not saying it's about the school.
No. What I'm saying is it has nothing. I agree. It has nothing to do with the school. It's so sickening and so nasty. Like, we can go on about this, but the episode is like, everything's tired, everything's done, but it's so nasty, genuinely.
It's awful.
And this is the conversation that I really wanted to have.
Yeah, and I enjoy conversation like this.
Yeah.
Not because it's a fun conversation to have, but because there's so much that some of you are so ignorant to.
Yeah, and it's like, this is not okay. And the reason why it's so minute is because it's become so normalized that you think it's okay. Think about the roots of where this is coming from.
Yeah.
Why do people think that way? Why do people believe this?
Yeah. Wow. And then come to school and project it onto like all these young little children. Kids. And then
don't get me wrong.
By virtue of telling the girls that their skirt is too short and not saying it's anything to the boys, it's like boys feel like, yeah, it's like, yeah, bruv, your skirt is too short.
That's the thing. That's what was so nasty. Other girls will come up to other girls and be like, oh, why is your skirt that short? Bro, do you know what you're saying right now?
What are you teaching the young
and then
men
the,
and women?
And then the other boys will be like,
oh,
her skirt is so short. But do you know what you're teaching the children right now?
And then that's why boys will come to school and be spewing unfortunate
events.
If I now start using language,
try not to.
I don't
want to
shit be for anybody. But right. You lot will come to school and just start spewing nonsense and foolish ideology.
It's just a frustrating thing that's frustrating.
Rubbish,
so
nonsense sentences. You're forgiven.
Anyway. We can definitely talk about this forever
we
in
can,
circles.
Like,
I'm gonna let you guys go. Like, I'm gonna free you. I hope you've enjoyed this episode. Like,
and I hope it makes you think about yourself as well.
Yeah. Send it to someone. If he needs to hear it. I'm gonna do a proper outro this time. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of The Things You Can't Touch. Make sure you follow our guest on all platforms, please. And also say happy birthday, because it's our birthday.
Happy birthday!
Happy birthday!
Thank you! We'll see you in the next episode, guys. Don't be a stranger. Subscribe!
Don't be a stranger.
Do you know what I find that so interesting? A lot of the things that, like, for example, I said that, somebody could write that in a paper, and you're going to read it and cite it in your... I think a lot of scholars, a lot of, like, writers in literature that we read like can seriously get cancelled, but they just write it.
Yeah,
and no
but
one reads
people
it.
Don't read, so and the people are the most.
Do you know what I mean?
That the people are chatting the most on socials are definitely like.
And they're dead. Some of them are dead.
Yeah, that's also true.
Sigmund Freud.
I know, but like people, no, but people agree with what they say.
Yeah.
So should those people?
But those
these,
are different.
In these days, I'm not saying that they go and cancel it. I'm saying that the views that we read in school are cancelable.
Yeah.
But just because I'm bringing it to the internet now,
it's
now
two
crazy.
Language games.
Yeah.
That's why.
Wittgenstein.
Yeah.
RJ.
I think
that's just like a separate point. Agree for me. You think?
No, I was just gonna say I feel like scholarly articles and whatnot have always been
cancelable. Essence of these scholarly articles, for you to read them and say you disagree with them. I think we just social medialized it, and now we tweet it, people before would write in tabs about how they disagree with it. That's so true, and I find that so interesting. And to me, because obviously it evolved, for me it's like now one is lower, like one is not as honorable as the other. That's I think that's the issue for me.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, like we're doing the exact same thing. But one of them, you're gonna say, "Wow, scholarly, you get a award,
yeah,
you get a degree."
The sophistication of it is different. Like when it is more casual, people are more likely to say dumb things.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like,
but even when you're writing, a lot of people say dumb things when they're writing.
It's
like,
true,
that
but at least they can back it up with at least maybe 5, 6, 7, 8. 12 sources
that they took out of context, most likely.
Yeah, however, some people are just using their own brain power.
Yeah. Are you like indirecting me right now?
No.
Are we talking about me?
Because you mentioned the brim thing, so obviously there's your source. There we go. Like, I can't deny that.
Yeah.
That thing. However, some people will go on Twitter and say, this is wrong because I think so. Wow. The end.
No, I think you're right.
Really to the same level of sophistication.
You're right.
Yeah,
thank you. That was a nice contribution.
Thank you for your contribution. It's crazy. On TTYCT, the things you can't touch, a philosophy podcast, a 21st century
modern day philosophy.
A modern, like, language is hard for me to speak English. A 21st day, no. A 21st century. Do you say 21st century and
I'm
modern day?
I'm sad of you.
Philosophy podcast with no, what? It's a 21st century philosophy podcast with a modern day twist. That's what it is.
Thank you. And what's sad is that no one asked you to do that and you messed up like, so many times. And I'm really upset with that. I'm sorry.